Welcome to the Jerry Ratcliffe Show with Chris Graham.
And here we are. We're on the eve of the ACC football kickoff. Chris Graham, Jerry Ratcliffe, and Jerry, we're heading down next week to Charlotte as we turn our attention towards the fall sports season. But we've still got some stuff to wrap up here as we make our way through the summer. And it's good to see you again, Jerry.
Good to see you as well. It's nice being able to chat live, and would be nice if we could do it in person, but it's difficult to do that these days. It may be a little bit better than it used to be, but still nothing like being in person.
Yeah. It's wrapping up, and if nothing else, the technology allows us to use the long vine across the valley and the Blue Ridge Mountains to connect every once in a while. So that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
Well, we have a special guest to join us today. You want to do the usual introduction?
I have so much respect for this man. I've known him the entire time I've been in Charlottesville, really. He and I came here at the same time when George Welsh moved down from Navy. And this gentleman came down with George and has been here ever since. And it's a tribute, I think, to his capabilities and his personality and his work ethic that he has worked for four UVA head football coaches, George Welsh, Al Groh, Mike London, and now Bronco Mendenhall. That's rare in college athletics for anyone to stick with through four different coaching regimes. And that tells you all you need to know about this guy. And I'm talking about Jerry Capone, who's I don't know what your new title is, Jerry. He used to be associate AD for football administration, but I know you've switched jobs for the first time in, since 1982, I guess. Well, you came as a coach, then right. Moved into administration. But what is your new title now? And thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Jerry and Chris. It's great to be here with you guys, and thanks for having me. My new title, after 39 years with football, is the Associate AD for Development.
Okay, development. There we go. And I knew that it would have a fancy title to it, but I wasn't sure which one it would be. A lot of people may not understand what your role was all those years, but essentially you were the guy that did all the legwork helping make schedules and making travel plans and I imagine hosting recruits. Lord only knows all the things you were responsible for during those 39 years. That has to be a testament to just your work ethic to be able to handle that many responsibilities, I would think. It's like when Jim West retired and they had to hire seven people to replace him. They may have to do the same thing for you.
Not quite like Jim. He was quite an individual and did more than I don't think people would ever understand or realize. And you're right. When he left, there were seven people that had to replace him, which was good and bad. But over the years, my job changed. But when I first started, what people don't know is I was doing scouting. And I was doing the operations job, and I was handling all the recruiting. So things were a lot different then, but I spent a lot of nights, a lot of early mornings in the office as a result. And then as time changed and, staffs increased and whether it was coaching and or support staffs, I got a lot of help, and so I grew with the position, and things changed every few years. While I had the same title, my role within that title seemed to grow in different areas, and that was pretty interesting. And people ask, at 39 years doing the same thing, I say that I working with football was never a dull moment, and it feels like I started working here just yesterday. I think time has flown, and it's flown by and in a very, very positive way, despite whether we had a successful season or not, mostly because of all the people that I've worked with over the years, between the administrations and the coaches and the support people who I've gotten very, very close with. You know, it's made it easy. It's made it very challenging, and it's been fun. So I hope this next chapter here in development is the same for me.
Let's talk just a little bit about that, and then we'll go back and review some of the things you're most proud of during your career. But in development, I assume that you're kind of trying to do for football what Barry Parkhill did for basketball, and finding donors to support John Paul Jones Arena, the construction and the maintenance and all the bells and whistles. I'm assuming that you're kind of in that role in terms of trying to develop the football and Olympic Sports Center.
Yeah, that's first, nobody can do what Barry does. He's working with him over the years, and you know, most recently working very, very closely with him. It's fun to watch him and to try to learn from him. He's very, very good at what he does, and he's a great role model. You know, Sean Moore is also on board with me, and our jobs, I think, are twofold. While we're trying to do just what you said for the master plan and focus on the football operations building, our job is also to work on engaging in the football alumni group and to bring them back and to get them involved in the program and get them united to understand that, you know, they are a fraternity and a fraternity that is important to the future of Virginia football. The stronger they are, the healthier they are as a group and as an organization, the better it will help the football program in numerous ways, the stronger they are. So we got quite a challenge, and it's interesting. As I told you, we've been talking for the last couple of weeks. Sean and I are, you know, deep in the weeds of trying to be like Barry Parkhill and the members of the VAF staff who, you know, they do great work.
Absolutely. And for anyone out there who's not familiar with the master plan, you guys are trying to build a football operations center, also an Olympic sports center that would, I guess it's in one massive building, connects, I assume, to the McHugh Center, and it's a total of $180 million, I believe. So that's quite a challenge to, in these days and times, to be able to bring in people that will be able to support this project.
Yeah, you know, the football building, the operations center will be a standalone football facility that will sit on the turf field, the synthetic field adjacent to and between the George Welsh Indoor and the McHugh Center. That alone will be $60 million. And that will be a building that will house all the football operations and will conveniently allow players to become more efficient at their craft and help them grow, where they'll arrive in one building and they'll be able to get everything done, get in and get out, and then get to class. And then right across the pavilion that is promenade, that's going to be part of this master plan, will be the Olympic building that will be attached to the McHugh Center. So it will, when this project is done, it will create an athletic complex that I think everyone will look and say, wow, this is a heck of a facility, and it will be very well connected with as an athletic community, and then it will be connected as a result of the master plan to Central Grounds and North Grounds, which is, you know, what we really, really need to do. Right now, you feel like you're on an island where we sit with the McHugh Center and the athletic facilities. When this is done, we'll be connected to Central Grounds, which will be really cool.
Looking for a great dining experience in Charlottesville? Look no further than the Aberdeen Barn. The barn has been family-owned and operated since 1965, with Terry and Angela providing great atmosphere and mouth-watering food at Virginia's big-time steakhouse. Enjoy the fine dining or relax in the Sportsman's Bar, a fantastic place to wind down and socialize, surrounded by flat-screen televisions tuned to the latest sporting events. You never know who you might bump into at the Aberdeen Barn, where all the greatest Cavaliers have dined over the decades and keep coming back for the delicious menu and good times. Check it out online at aberdeenbarn.com or call 434-296-4630.
That is really cool. And a lot of people may have forgotten or may not have known at all that a lot of the Olympic sports, or some of the Olympic sports, are still using trailers out behind where you all used to sit. I mean, that's their home. It's until you guys can get this built. And I know there's probably a lot of alumni and potential donors out there that would like to see that change, just so they can, these athletes can have a better home to, if nothing else, just dress out and and have their lockers and stuff instead of it being in, having to use trailers.
Well, the transformation, when this is done, the transformation will be unbelievable. And to think of, you know, what basketball has done since they built John Paul Jones Arena, what baseball has done since they have built their stadium. People need to realize that their stadiums are also their operations center. So when they report to those buildings, they are, everything is there, you know, their weight room, their training facilities, their practice facilities, everything is right there. So it's like one-stop shop. They come in, get their work done, they get out, they do it in the efficiency of what they do, and the amount of time is, it helps. It helps with their academics and helps them grow as students and athletes. And that will do the same for football and eventually for all the Olympic sports. So these are exciting times, and it's gonna be, I'm really excited to be, and I know Sean is as well, to be part of this and to watch this grow and to unfold. And I think everyone, when it's complete, will be very, very satisfied and very pleased with the results.
Yeah, it's great to have Sean back in the fold again. He's such an important figure in Virginia football history. It's great to have him back.
He's just a lot older, Jerry. In fact, he looks older than you and I these days.
I had lunch with him a couple of years ago. We were thinking about doing a project together, and he still looks like he could play, though.
Just a lot slower is what I tell him.
Yeah, a lot slower. Chris, you got anything?
Yeah, Jerry, in terms of the specifics with the Football Performance Center, what will this do when it's operational to maybe help bridge the gap? We see what the Clemsons and Alabamas of the world have done to improve what they can do for their players. What will the Virginia Performance Center do to help the Virginia program to the next level?
Oh, it's, as you mentioned, there's an arms race out there, and we're behind, to be very, very very, very honest with you. And we need this building to be competitive. And I think it will be a transformational thing. And obviously time will tell, and It's easy to say that, but I believe, just as I mentioned with the John Paul Jones Arena and the baseball facility, that it will be the same. We'll have the same opportunity. It will get us on level playing field with everyone. Obviously, there's still a lot of work that has to be done with our coaches and the staff and what they're doing. I think they're the right group that we have, and the things that they're doing, and they're doing more with less, that if we can get this done, I think there'll be a lot of great things that we see as a result of it.
I remember a couple things that I'd like to bring up. One is when Bronco was introduced to Virginia as its new head coach at the press conference, that was one of the first things out of his mouth, was that they needed a new football operations center, as he recognized that you guys were behind your competition, which takes me back to the George days and Carl Smith. And we used to go on the ACC football tour back then and visit every school in the conference. And I remember on these each trip to each campus, if they had any athletic facility improvement, they would go out of their way to show it to all the writers and media. And that's the arms race. It started that long ago. And I'll remember coming back and Carl Smith telling me that he had seen my story about North Carolina's improvements to their, mostly to their football stadium and their facilities right there at the stadium. And he decided at that point that he wanted to help Virginia reach that level. And obviously he did. George, you know this as well as anybody because you were part of it. George told us that they couldn't even get the best players in the state to even visit Virginia until they got updated the McHugh Center and showed players that Virginia had made a commitment the winning football. What do you remember about those days and how important that was?
Well, I do remember that when you guys came on tour, we didn't show you the trailers that we operated on out of, rather.
I remember that.
But a lot of people don't realize, those 90 classes that we had, that great year in 1990, those guys were recruited out of construction trailers that sat between the cage and U-Haul. We started out with one trailer and that served as the staff meeting room, and then that evolved to having three other trailers or two other trailers, and we called it the trailer park. And one was our recruiting room where we would meet with to talk about recruiting. We had our recruiting board there, and we had our offense and defensive staffs met in each of those trailers. So it was very, very interesting. George and the staff, like what's going on today, or really did a lot more with less. And kids came early on because they believed in the staff and believed in what they were trying to do, and they believed in the University of Virginia. And I think that is pretty similar today. And there's no question that when we got out of the trailers and went into a new building, the whole complexion of what we were trying to do at that time changed. It became a lot easier. And that same thing will happen when this building is done. There'll be a transformation that people will see, especially everyone in the state, because we're a lot more visible in the state. Will become a lot more competitive as a result.
Chris?
Maybe talk about, I'm thinking through the impact that it can have on Bronco Mendenhall and his staff. I'm sure he's very excited about these possibilities. What is the time frame, Jerry, for if things go the right way? When can this be online? When can this be available to the both the football staff and the Olympic sports?
Well, the focus right now is to get the football building built so then we can renovate the McHugh Center to move all the Olympic sport athletes out of those temporary facilities that they are in now into the McHugh Center. So the focus is on that, and is we want it built yesterday. In 2023 is a goal that we are working hard to achieve, and if not 23, soon thereafter. But I think we're just so focused on day-to-day and prospecting and doing what we need to do, and that we need to get this thing done, not only for football, for everyone, but there's a lot of work to do. So we're just, Jerry knows that for quite some time we've been talking about this call, and I just haven't had a chance to breathe. And as soon as you guys are done, I got some calls I have to make and some people I have to see. So that gives you a little sense. We got to get it done for the staffs, for the student athletes, especially for the student athletes. They do so much and give so much of themselves. We got to give back to them and help them to be the best that they can be. And that's the ultimate goal for football and for all our student athletes.
How much did the pandemic impact the progress on this project, Gary? I'm assuming it probably set anybody in the collegiate athletic world back in trying to raise money for such an impressive facility during this terrible time we've experienced.
I think the pandemic for all of us, I mean, just look at how we're conducting this call. It certainly has changed a lot of things, and it was difficult, very difficult times. And I certainly wasn't involved during the pandemic, but knowing what I do now, that raising money is all about relationships from what I can see. And it's all about being in the presence of people and earning their trust and being able to talk to them and in an environment that you can sell the importance of what we're doing. And to do it on Zoom or to do it over the phone isn't as engaging as it needed to be. So while I can't really answer that because I wasn't here, I can imagine how difficult it was. It made their jobs very, very hard.
Yeah, I know because of the pandemic, a lot of media hasn't been able to watch you guys practice or anything like that. But I know that you built a couple of the grass practice fields where the U-Haul, I guess, parking lot used to be. How much has that helped? You guys didn't really have a natural grass field until just recently.
That's correct. When I started here in 82, we had three grass practice fields. Then it went to two grass practice fields and an AstroTurf field. Then it slowly dwindled to, the two synthetic synthetic fields that we have now, one outdoor and one, or we had up until recently, one outdoor and one in the indoor. And as you said, we just built two outdoor grass practice fields that are so critical to the program, not only with for our players, and to practice on grass is so much better than practicing on synthetic turf. If our people listening have not driven up to the McHugh Center and seen our facilities today or the grass practice fields, when you drive up, the impression that you get today is totally different than any other time that I've been here in my 39 years. That you drive up and you go, wow, big time football. The McHugh Center looks great. Although it's insufficient for what we need, the indoor sits proud next to those grass practice fields that just glisten. And our grounds crew does a great job. So we can support grass practice fields, grass playing fields today that we probably couldn't have supported 39 years ago. But they're pristine and look great. And it feels good just getting out of your car and going into the office, just looking at the area with John Paul Jones across the street, the new softball stadium around the corner from us. You know, baseball sits up there. It's developing into, you know, a place where you get out of the car, you go, wow, this is the athletic department. And it never really looked like that before.
Blue Ridge Bank is the proud sponsor of the Jerry Ratcliffe Show and JerryRatcliffe.com. Founded in 1893, Blue Ridge Bank has more than a century of customer-based service, but is forward-thinking and features digital banking free and available 24/7. CEO Brian Plum and his team are strong supporters of UVA Athletics. And check this out. Blue Ridge Bank is home of the $100,000 jackpot drawing to one lucky customer every year. How can you beat that? Banking smarter, simplified. Blue Ridge Bank's mission is strong customer service. Make Blue Ridge Bank your bank today. Visit mybrb.com for more information.
Yeah, you're right. It's anytime I bring a visitor through town and we drive through that area, they say, and especially if they hadn't been here for a while, they say, man, this is really impressive. So yeah, you're right about that. I had the good fortune back when you guys played at Oregon a few years ago. I got to take a tour of Oregon's football building, which at the time was, I guess, the Taj Mahal of college football buildings. And it was every facet of that building that I entered just blew me away. And I know, as you mentioned, the arms race is unbelievable in college sports. Since then, Northwestern and Clemson and other schools have tried to outdo Oregon and probably have, which is hard to believe because even the Oregon people couldn't tell me how much that building cost. I'm not sure they wanted to know, but Phil Knight was behind a lot of that, obviously, from Nike. They had every bell and whistle you can imagine, but that's not really what it's all about, right? I mean, you want to make it functional and a great place for, like you said, a one-stop shop for players to where they can have an easier life, really, while in school. Have you been to many of those buildings around the country? And just talk a little bit about what your guys' goal is compared to maybe some of those which have fire slides and miniature golf and stuff like that, which is, seems to be a little away from the point.
Well, you know, I remember when Carolina did their facility upgrade, and that really was the start of the arms race. And that was in the, I believe, the mid to late 90s, and you probably remember better than me, Jerry, but that's really what kicked off, in my opinion, the arms race. Because when you look at what they did, and they were kind of a little ahead of their time in that their facility was adjacent to their stadium. And you talk about one-stop shop, it was all right there. Although they have to walk to their practice field, but they recently have made their stadium field synthetic turf. So now they can practice right inside their stadium, and they don't have to, when days are bad, you know, walk the 150 yards to their practice facility or 200 yards. But their, you know, operations center was really what a lot of people modeled their buildings after. They just made them bigger and better in some ways. But, you know, I've been to Oregon's, and you need a day to walk through the facility. It's so big.
Yeah.
And to me, it's, and I don't want to take anything away. It's beautiful. It's the amenities are great, but for me, it does not fit what the University of Virginia needs. Being around here so long, You know, the operations guy, when I went to his office, it took him 10 minutes to get to his office from the practice field. You know, that's kind of where we are today with football. Our facilities are, the facility for football is not a convenient, even flowing space. We come to the locker room in the morning, we change, we go to the indoor building for our meetings. So we're back and forth. And that's what I see with Oregon's facility. So in the individual pieces of the building are beautiful. And it looks like a spaceship landed in Eugene. That's how big it is. You know, I've been to Clemson's, I've been to many, many facilities, you know, traveling and dating back to my early days. That was part of what George wanted me to know, is what, you know, other schools are doing, what their facilities look like. His whole approach is, we have to know what our opponents are doing so that we can, if we had to, outsmart them and out-recruit them. We had to know what we were up against. So, and I know what's going on with this building and what we're trying to do. And I think it's perfect for the University of Virginia and for our players. There'll be so much excitement from them when those doors open, and they will be able to grow and do what we need them to do. That it will fit what the University of Virginia is and what we're trying to accomplish football-wise, and what their challenges are academically. So it's a perfect fit for where we are.
You're exactly right about Carolina starting that arms race. I remember on the football tour going up in the elevator with Mac Brown, some other writers and myself, and he said, wait till you hear this. And he pushed the button to whatever floor we were going to. And every time you push that elevator button, it played the North Carolina fight song. So he said, we didn't forget anything. We left no stones unturned. And he was right. They did start a heck of a arms race. And here we are today. Chris?
Well, I'm hearing the phone blowing up and the email blowing up maybe for Jerry. You got some money to raise, it sounds like. Is that the focus for right now? I mean, and you have a lot of responsibilities on your plate, but what's your focus day to day here on out?
Chris, didn't Jerry tell you that by having me on the show that you guys were, I think he said you were going to write the $60 million check that we needed? That was the only reason I came on. So we're going to close this deal right now, and I can go home and catch a nap. So
that's all you need is $60 million. I wish Jerry would have said that. Yeah.
Yeah. I like the sound of that. The Graham Ratcliffe Football Center. I like it.
I like that too. Let's do it.
I might have to get a few more subscribers before I can throw that kind of money at you, or at least some good advertisers. That's for sure.
No, Chris, I have joining the bigger team of the, you know, the VAF staff and with Barry and Sean and Carla, and, you know, everybody's involved in this fundraising piece, not only the obvious groups, but as we talk to football alums and everybody, we need everybody to help stir this drink. That includes you guys. So we need you out there in your airways talking this up and the importance of it and what it will mean for Virginia football and Virginia athletics in general, and for the University of Virginia, because if we can do this, we will connect Central Grounds to North Grounds. We will, you know, do so much for our student athletes and make everyone proud for it. So we have a lot of work to do. So a lot of phone calls to make and a lot of visits. We got to hit the road. This is like recruiting, Jerry, all over again. You know, it's when I started out coaching, and similarities are the same, where you have to go out and refine your recruit, cultivate your recruit, have a relationship with your recruit, sell your recruit, have them see things, have them believe in what you're doing. So that's where we are.
UVA Orthopedics and Sports Medicine boasts one of the finest teams of doctors in the country, and they're right here in Charlottesville to not only provide care for the University of Virginia athletic teams, but also the Charlottesville and Central Virginia communities. UVA Orthopedics has been a proud sponsor of the Jerry Ratcliffe Show for the past 2 years, with numerous team members featured in weekly segments where doctors share great insight into various sports injuries, what causes them, how to treat them, and recovery time. Their team of experts are there for you and offer the best care to solve your health problems and get you back on your feet. Let their team of specialists get you back in the game.
I think you got to be one of the nicest guys that's ever been through UVA to be able to survive four different coaching changes and keep your position, because a lot of coaches, when they come in, they want to wipe out everybody that's been there before and bring in their own people and stuff like that. How did you manage to survive four coaching regimes like that? You must be the most likable guy on the planet.
I don't know. I don't know about most likable, but I don't know. I think part of it is just work ethic. I know for several of them, a couple of them, I was on trial to begin with, and when they started, and I hope they saw where my heart was and where my heart it still is, and that's what was with Virginia football and the athletic department in the University of Virginia. I've had a chance to leave a few times, and I had no real interest. I really have enjoyed my time here. I've enjoyed the student athletes immensely. I've gotten close to them. There's no greater satisfaction than to meet a young man and his parents when they arrive and on grounds when they're really green and young, and watch them grow in their 4 or 5 years here, and then to see them 10 years later and they're happy and they're prospering. It's a great, great feeling. And to stay connected to them, it's the family is so big. And the coaches that I've worked for, the head coaches, they've been good to me. Hasn't been easy. This is not an easy place. And we need to make it easier for our coaches. That's what this building is all about. So I don't know. I hope I've given as much back as I've received to the coaches and their staffs, and to the players, because it's been a great time, a great run, and hopefully I have a great run left in me.
I know in your former position, you would often face some adversity if things went wrong, and a lot of times I imagine coaches might throw the blame on you just because you were the easy target. I remember you telling me a story once about the buses getting lost or broken down or something under George, and he threw a little bit of a hissy fit in your direction.
The operations guy, it all starts and it ends with them. And basically, my colleagues and peers in that role, and Joe Mahalik, who's taken over for me in football, would tell you that, you're behind the scenes is really, really where most guys that are in operations want to be, but you're in the engine room. And if the engine fails, you got to get it started again, and you got to figure out how to do it. My greatest story is when we showed up, we played Clemson. It was in the late 80s. And we showed up in the plane. Back then, we didn't have cell phones, so we didn't know what was going on until we got to the airport, and the private plane that we or the charter that we were flying didn't look good. And you pulled up right onto the tarmac, and it was dark, it was late at night, and you saw about five or six guys under the belly of the plane with flashlights, and everything was open. We said, boy, this doesn't look good. Sure enough, the mechanic came on board and said, Coach, You're going to have to, we can't take you. The plane is down and we don't have another plane that can get in. So I said, oh my God, we're going to drive home for 8 hours. As we're driving out of the airport, George said, go to the counter and let's pull over here and go run inside, go to the counter and see if they got a plane. And this is like at 10 o'clock at night, maybe later.
Oh, wow.
And I get out of the bus and I'm walking to the terminal, and the terminal about the size of Charlottesville, you know, it wasn't a big terminal. I walked in and there wasn't anybody there, and it was a ghost town. And you know, that I walked up to the US Air, remember US Air, I walked up to their counter and you ring a bell, and there wasn't anybody in the hotel in the airport. So I rang this bell and hoping that somebody would come out, and this woman came out and she said, what can I do? What can I do to help you? I said, I'm with the football team and you wouldn't have a plane that we could take the team back to Charlottesville on, would you? And I figured she was going to look at me and say, what are you, crazy? She said, give me a minute. She went back and came back 5 minutes later and said, yeah, we can be ready in 20 minutes. And I couldn't believe it. So that was my greatest story as an operations guy, that you could, that would never happen today. But it was, you know, I didn't save the day, but well, I got a lot of credit for it, but I got to give George the credit to at least say, hey, let's give it a shot. I remember Tom Sherman walked out with me because he didn't know why the buses stopped, and he saw me get out and he walked with me, and we both looked at each other and said, who's going to ask if there's a plane? And because we were ready for the reaction, and it was amazing. So we got home in a reasonable hour and it worked. Otherwise we would have been home the next morning.
Wow. And weren't you the one that kind of saved the day when Virginia played at Wyoming and the team buses broke down between, I don't know what city you guys were staying in, and the Wyoming stadium. Weren't you the guy that kind of saved the day there?
Yeah, we knew before we were getting ready to depart. We were staying an hour away. We were in Laramie, and we were staying an hour away from the stadium, that one of the buses was having an issue. I weren't really sure. So to protect ourselves, because really only one road there and one road back. But to protect ourselves, we put all the non-essential personnel on the third bus. We were only on three buses back then. And when we took off before on the ramp to get up on the highway to take us an hour to the stadium, on the ramp, the bus started to have problems. And by the time we got to the top of the ramp, it was shut down. And everybody's looking at each other on this, on the bus. You know, it's Craig Little Page, the radio crew, security staff, operations staff, and a few other people. And, you know, everybody's looking at me and I got to do something. So I get out of the bus and, you know, I'm making phone calls after phone calls, and I'm looking for school buses. I'm looking for any type of bus to pick us up and take us. And all those buses, the way the community worked for Wyoming football games, they used everybody in the state to transport people to the stadium and back pre and post game. So there were no buses to be had. The company that we bused with was located out of Colorado. So it was 2 hours before they can get and deliver a bus. So, you know, Mike Sheffield was, you remember Mike, he was our head of security. And I got out of the bus and he said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to stick my thumb out and get a car to pull over. And we'll put a couple people in each car and we'll get them to the stadium. Lo and behold, a school bus is coming. And I said, I'm going to flag this guy down. And as he's getting closer, I can see that there's nobody in the bus, and I'm jumping up and down And I'm almost in the road and the guy pulls over, thankfully, and he had an empty bus. And this is a true story. He pulled over and he had to call his, he was taking the bus from Texas, a brand new bus, school bus, and he was delivering it to somewhere beyond, past the stadium. And he said, I'll be happy to take it, but I got to get approval. And he said, his dispatcher said, if there's a police officer there that would verify, you can take them. So we happened to have a uniformed officer that was one of our security guys from Charlottesville, from UVA, on the bus. So we got, 30 people on that bus into the game 10 minutes before it started. So,
wow.
That was pure luck. And somebody was looking, otherwise we'd still be there. and if you've ever been to Wyoming, we were on a road that, people were going 80, 90 miles an hour, and nobody was going to stop for us.
I drove up from Denver. I stayed in Denver on that trip. And so I know it's a lot of long, lonely roads out there. That's for sure.
When you look over to the side of the road and you see that tumbleweed, you're going, oh, my God, how are we going to get home?
You mentioned this earlier, and I talked to Chip Mark recently about his involvement with the Virginia Football Alumni Club. That's a great thing that you guys are trying to build up into something special. I know you touched on it briefly, but what do you think that can do for Virginia football, just to get all the alums re-involved in UVA football and how that can help the program going forward?
Well, I think, and to sum it up, if you have a healthy football alumni group, it helps your football program be a lot healthier. And the connection and the things that they can do without realizing for us, help guys get jobs, develop networks in helping those kids get jobs. My 39 years, I've said to former players, you guys don't see it, but I do. There's a common thread between all of you. This is, I see it as a fraternity, that you've pledged the fraternity when you were here playing. And once you graduate and you leave the program, you are a member of the fraternity, and giving back to that fraternity. And there's a lot of ways to give back. Financial is one, but their time and their commitment in supporting the program is huge, that if they're not doing it, why would anybody else do it? And I think that resonates loud and clear with them. And it makes it a lot more fun when there's more of them that come back and more of them that see each other. The war stories only get greater and a lot more fun, whether you were a star or you weren't. The stars get, they do greater things 30 years later than they did 30 years ago. And those who weren't that good are also automatically better players 30 years later. So it's a lot of fun. And I think they have a lot of fun. We just have to do a better job. And with Carla and her administration working hard to make those connections easier for them. And as a result, I think it's going to be a lot of fun, especially when you connect the former players to the present players.
Chris, you got anything?
No, I think this has been interesting, hearing the bus stories, the plane story, learning about the this has been fascinating for me. I'm as much a fan as anything else, alum and fan, and I think a lot of people who watch the games, they don't think about all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes, and that's what Jerry's job has been for 39 years, is making sure the team gets there, that they're ready to go. It's fascinating to hear all this, Jerry, that all your stories here. Thank you for sharing all these.
That's why I don't have any hair, Chris.
You kind of got that Bruce Willis vibe going right now. You're aging gracefully.
Yeah, very gracefully. Sure. But thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Jerry. We appreciate your hard work over all these years and your friendship and sharing your insight and knowledge about Virginia football with all our listeners out here. I'm sure they'll be fascinated as we were to hear some of your stories and to learn about your goals and how they can help Virginia football improve and go forward.
Thank you, Jerry and Chris. I appreciate it. Jerry, it's hard to believe it's been 39 years. Here's to another 39. You guys stay safe.
I'll raise a glass to that. All right. Thank you, brother.
Thank you for listening to the Jerry Ratcliffe Show. Get the latest on the Hoos, basketball, football, and more online at jerryratcliffe.com or at AugustaFreePress.com.